fingers. I'm trying not to. Where's my pen, though? Oh, tell me, isn't it always something? If it isn't your pen, it's your pants. Yeah. Isn't your pants, it's your car. Well, the Paris the Paris climate talks agree on sunny with a high of 72. I'll read it again. The Paris climate talks agree on sunny with a high of 72. What do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome former U.S. Poet Laureate Donald Hall, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who believes in the future, everyone will have 15 minutes to trend, Michael Feldman.
Am I trending yet? What do you mean, no? Yeah, they all agreed, see, on sunny with a high of 72 degrees. So that's, but they couldn't agree if it was going to be centigrade or Fahrenheit. So there's a huge battle going on right now in Paris. A big difference between 72 degrees centigrade and Fahrenheit. Huge difference. Okay. Anyway, this whole climate thing will be moot once the District of Columbia is at the bottom of the Potomac. Due to global warming. Okay. So various things here in the news. I saw here that drinking is good for Alzheimer's patients if he can remember where he hid the bottle. Trump and Mothra are the last two Republican candidates standing. Well, Mothra doesn't stand, more hovers. So does Trump, come to think of it. Okay, then try this one here. Consumer sentiment rises to four-year high. Not sentiment, he said sediment. Okay. This joke never works. I've tried this repeatedly over the years, and yet I still try. In millennial news, millennials are willing to fight ISIS with Call of Duty Black Ops 3. More millennial news. This one here. Millennials also, they believe the American dream is dead and mom and dad don't look so good either. That's all millennial news. You heard it right here first. Unless you are a millennial, probably hear this all the time. There's a laser car camera that can see around corners so you can time your collisions so they get the worst of it. It's a great breakthrough. Just give pedestrians crossing the street a really good scare. Just brush them so their pants brush. My pants are brushed. That was a fender. Okay, anyhow, the first smog, red alert in Beijing. Actually, they've had hundreds. This is the first one they've actually seen. So things are actually looking up in Beijing, is what I'm saying. Trump cancels Israel trip when Netanyahu not anti-Muslim enough for him. That's pretty extreme. 23 Syrian refugees have 30 million Texans holed up in the Alamo. Getting pretty crowded in there, so the tours are off if you're thinking of taking it. VW says only a small group was responsible for the Third Reich, let alone emissions. Chipotle to take the responsibly raised Montezuma's Revenge off the menu.
Free range.
Free range. Oh, yeah, you're free ranging after one of them, I'll tell you that. Whoa, out on the range. Another study. I have a lot of studies. I like studies. Do you like studies? How many of you like studies? No, you have to applaud because you're on the radio and they can't see your lovely, well-groomed hands. Just gently in the air. Thank you. Do you like studies? Here's a good one. Maybe you like this one. A study finds that not only does happiness not make you live longer, it makes you feel a lot worse about dying. So it's actually counterproductive to be happy. Okay. In a flurry of activity, the Chicago Cubs trade for the entire St. Louis Cardinals. That was the way to go all along. Now in the rivalry, they'll be playing themselves. So that's pretty cool. Okay, not a Cubs fan, not a Cardinals fan. No, are you there with doing this to me? Body language is important, young lady. How are you? Pretty good? Is this a group you're here with? Are you from somewhere? What group? Where are you from? What is the occasion?
I'm here with my friend Jamie and her family.
Jamie and her family?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Ever hear of this show before? Or? No, okay. You look like you're trying real hard not to do this thing. You fall asleep and start. You wake up. When I was teaching, kids used to do that in class all the time. It was fun to watch for the front. They could see some kids sitting there going, boom. And your name is?
Rachel.
What is it?
Oh, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. How are you doing? Nice to have you here. Thanks for coming. You'll get the hang of this before long. You're gonna go home liking it. Say, why didn't I know about this sooner? Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to spot you out, as we used to say. People don't say spot you out anymore, do they? That junior high school in Milwaukee, 1963, 64. Excuse me. So things are looking up in Beijing. Oh, that's right. Trump did that one. Did Texas, Chipotle. happiness. Okay. Anyway, the Cubs did that. Oh, yeah. Fiat Chrysler has been fined $70 million by the oxymoron police. All right. Antibiotic use is up on farms despite cows' promises to kick drugs. You can't believe a Holstein. I mean, it looks at you, she looks at you, those big brown eyes, and you're going, you know, whatever they say. Boo, sure, boo, if you say so. Some prairie voles, here's another study, by the way. Some prairie voles are wired for monogamy. Some aren't. It's no big moral deal. It's just genetics, okay? This is from the Prairie Vole Companion, actually the Bible. It's considered the Prairie Vole's Bible. All right, you didn't like that study. How about this study, then? The study finds that the best way to give directions is not to start with, I'm not from around here. And then, when you use landmarks, make sure they're still there, not a sharp right just before where the silo was. Okay. If you have no idea, mention it before, not after giving directions. That's kind of important. And never heard of GPS? It's considered rude. Okay, and just a little bit more news here. Frank Sinatra would be 100 today had he not done it my way. And urine, this is a headline, I guess, urine-powered wireless socks, no longer a dream. That's all the news that is. And thank you so much for some reaction to a bit of that. Yeah, they have... Because the public demanded that they have urine-powered wireless transmitting socks.
What public is this?
I don't know. It's the tech public. Techies, they want more and more tech, wearable tech.
Okay.
Well, wouldn't you love to have urine-powered wireless socks on right now?
I don't know that I would. How does the urine You're get not typical. On the socks?
All that makes you is not typical.
You're
I not see. Typical, so we can no longer speak. Donald Hall, the poet laureate of the United States of America. The selected poems of Donald Hall is out now. He collected them. He selected them himself, actually, from his 20 volumes of poetry over the years. He's just a gold mine of wonderful verse. And he's with us all the way from New Hampshire, his hometown. And Donald Hall is on the line with us right now. Hi, Donald. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Is this early for you, or have you been up for like 3 hours already?
It's been late. I took a nap. You did? I wake up early.
Yeah.
I don't mean to, but I do.
Yeah. Are we talking crack of dawn or before crack
about
of dawn?
About 6 or 7.
6 or 7, okay.
Yeah.
Is that by design?
It used to be 5 a.m., but yeah. I'm slowing down with old age. So.
Yeah. Is that because, was your writing time, like when I know you stopped writing poetry now, but I mean,
yeah.
Does that come from writing poetry at?
Absolutely.
Six?
I really, I'm, I'm a total morning person.
Yeah.
And most of my grown-up life, I got up about 5 mm-hmm. and got to work.
Yeah. You got 5 and got to work at 6, and then you worked till what, 7 and quit?
I'd work a couple of hours on poetry and then interrupt. And I freelanced, you know, since 1975.
Yeah.
So I had to work on several books during the day,
yeah.
poetry and prose and so on. But poetry came first.
Poetry came first and came first in your life as well.
Absolutely.
Since yep. you were, what, 13, your first poem?
12.
12.
Actually. 14 when I got serious.
Yeah. So 12, do you remember what it was, the verse itself, or what
absolutely,
it was?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
What was that?
I had, I liked horror movies, and a big boy next door, 14, told me I should read Edgar Allan Poe. So I did, and I wrote a poem called, Have You Ever Thought of the Nearness of Death to You? It follows you through the night. It screams at you all day until that moment when, in monotones loud, death calls your name. Yeah. Then is the end of all.
So pretty much a typical 12-year-old.
Nice morbid 12-year-old.
Girls, and death.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That, didn't you say one time cheerleaders and poetry, right?
Right. High school cheerleaders.
Yeah, high school cheerleaders. But the poetry, does that help you get the cheerleaders? Did that work?
Well, it was supposed to work. It actually works later, but it didn't when you were 14.
So you should have been a halfback. There's a poem about that, about the halfbacks got the cheerleaders. And,
yeah.
But you still have poetry, and they... Well, maybe they still have the cheerleader. I don't know.
I'm 87 now. I'm sort of past cheerleaders.
the right one, you know. It's always the right one, I think, is the question. What a wonderful collection. How hard was it to select? I mean, it's not a huge, it's a slim volume.
I really enjoyed it. It's a very short one. Mm-hmm. It's, 10 years ago, I published what I call a selected, mm-hmm. and it was about... 8 times longer than this one.
Yeah.
I sort of put in everything I had a nice feeling for, mm-hmm. but this time I tried to take the very best in my mind and also help by other people's opinions. And mm-hmm. I found it surprisingly easy to do. And months ago I did it, but I still like my judgment.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have it.
Yeah. Did you tire of some of yourself in the intervening years and to just pick fewer poems because that one wasn't that good after all?
I really didn't hear you just
now. Oh, yeah, I'm saying, had you tired of yourself in the intervening years so that you only picked fewer poems because those are just the ones you still liked?
Yeah, I took the ones I still liked.
Yeah, yeah.
They're from very different points of life.
Yeah.
The first one was written when I was 25, the first one in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then... the last to go into my 80s. But really, poets tend to be at their best, not when they're kids, but middle age. 50s, maybe 60s.
Yeah.
And that's probably the bulk of my work in here.
Yeah, so middle age is good for something. It's good for poetry.
right.
Not so much other things. But after 80, you can still write essays, right? Is that pretty
I've been able to, and I've enjoyed very much writing prose.
Yeah.
I feel that I got stronger in it as poetry left me.
Mm-hmm. But why not poetry after 80?
It's sex, actually. Poetry, the sound of poetry is really very erotic.
Mm-hmm.
And as inevitably the testosterone gets lower... So
it was. You did say sex. I thought for a moment I didn't hear. It's all sex. Is that what you say?
Yeah. And prose not quite so much. You can write that with your brain. You don't need the rest of you.
I see. Okay. So an essay you can write about something other than sex. And so
that it isn't that my poetry is only about sex.
No.
It can be about anything, but it embodies it in the sound of the poem. That's my entryway into poetry, through the sound of it. Delicious, tongue-pleasing diphthongs.
All right, you can just stop now, Don.
I won't go any
further. That's quite enough. Well, we've had quite enough of that. And you say your first poem was, is My Son the Executioner, the first poem of this collection?
Yes.
At age 25, and that's when your son was born.
That's right, yep. He's 61 now.
61, yeah.
Yep.
And it's once again, even when you're 12, you're thinking about death and stuff, but My Son, My Executioner.
Yeah.
That's an unusual take.
I know. I was surprised to have that notion when my boy was born. But I'm not surprised now.
That's 61. Yeah, now you see what you meant, huh? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Would you mind, do you mind reading one or two?
Not at all. I'd love to.
Yeah. Could you start by reading that one? I think that's so interesting.
Could I do what?
Could you read My Son, My Executioner first?
Oh, sure.
Whatever you like.
I have to fiddle a bit to find it. But
yeah, go ahead and fiddle. It's right in the beginning on page one.
I know that.
It shouldn't be hard to find.
Easier to find fiddling than practically anything else.
Yeah.
I'm old enough so that it's hard to turn pages.
Yeah.
On the right page. And here we are.
Yeah.
My son, my executioner. My son, my executioner, I take you in my arms, quiet and small, and just to stir, and whom my body warms. Sweet death, small son, our instrument of immortality, your cries and hungers document our bodily decay. We, 25 and 22, who seemed to live forever, observe enduring life in you and start to die together.
Wow.
That's it.
That's amazing. And you say this, that surprised you to have those feelings.
Yeah, I was very surprised.
Yeah.
Shortly before he was born, I began to have the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know at that time, way back, we didn't know what sex he would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I paced up and down outside the delivery room. You weren't allowed inside. And the nurse came out, and something was so amazing that I forgot to ask what flavor he was. His hair was a bright red. Neither nor my wife nor I had a touch of red hair. And there he was, this bright redhead, which he still is. And finally, when she came out of the nursery, I said, which kind is he? I learned I had my son, not my daughter.
Yeah, that's wonderful. The farm and your home, I mean, so much of your poetry is totally from you. I mean, you generally don't write poems that go through another speaker.
That's right.
It's all through you. I mean, that's difficult.
Almost entirely, yeah.
Yeah, it's very rewarding, but it must be quite difficult sometimes to not want to even pull some of those things out. Is it?
But you have to live away from it for a while to see that you haven't made silly mistakes because you're so closely involved in the subject.
Yeah.
It takes me, it's always taken me 6 months or a year before a poem is really finished.
Yeah. Do they gestate?
Yeah, I put them away for a while and look at them again. I'm talking in the present tense.
Mm-hmm.
But I always do it. And something like that is true with prose, too.
Mm-hmm. You're born a poet, right, I think is what you're saying, right? Because so you realized when you wrote your first one that, boy, this is what I should be doing, right? Was that?
Well, really, when I was 14, I decided
that
I would do it the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I've done it.
Well, if you hadn't done that, would you have been a ball player? Because I noticed baseball is a very big part of...
I love baseball, but I'm a terrible athlete.
Yeah. Did you give it a try? Might you have played
I tried, but it's
might you have been with the Red Sox? Had you not been a successful poet?
After the age of 16, I never tried anything.
Yeah. Well,
I ran the 440 for a bit. And,
you did, yeah.
I did all right, but
I
love baseball, but I can hardly throw one.
Yeah. And if there's a recurring theme, is it perears
It's out the window here.
Yeah. Can you see it now from where you are?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like your Fuji, isn't it? It's kind of a...
That's right. That's right. It's not terribly high, but it's cone-shaped, and it's in a part of the world which is really flat, so it sticks out and governs the landscape, and wow. I've written about it.
Yeah.
Not all my life, but for a good many years.
Yeah, and that's New Hampshire. And is your family farm, is that near Mount Kearsarge? Is that,
it's 5 miles away.
5 miles away, okay, so yeah. That's all there. Where your grandfather, that wonderful poem where your grandfather is.
Is I'm sitting in the same sitting room that my grandparents and my great-grandparents sat in.
Wow.
And actually a granddaughter of mine will take it over when I die.
Yeah.
So they better keep on from 1865 onward.
Yeah. Could we get you to read one of those poems that involves this place and Mount Kearsarge, one of your choice, of course?
Okay, I'll have to look for it.
Okay.
I found it. Okay. I found the page, and I had to stir for it. There's one called Mount Kearsarge. And I wrote it originally before I knew I could move back here.
Uh-huh.
I was a teacher at Ann Arbor in Michigan, and I wanted to live here, but I knew I couldn't. And I was wrong, thank goodness. Mount Kearsarge, great blue mountain ghost. I look at you from the porch of the farmhouse where I watched you all summer as a boy. Steep sides, narrow, flat patch on top. You are clear to me, like the memory of one day. Blue, blue. The top of the mountain floats in haze. I will not rock on this porch when I am old. I turn my back on you, Kearsarge. I close my eyes and you rise inside me. Blue ghost.
That's wonderful.
There are those diphthongs I was talking
about. Yeah, you got every diphthong possible. That's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Another theme, leaves.
Another theme?
Leaves.
Okay, let's see.
Leaves are very big in your poetry. There are always leaves, and they're, you know, there's always the leaves are falling and that sort of thing, but it's so profound. And your use of leaves is the most profound.
This one is called Affirmation.
Okay.
And it's about getting old.
Okay.
To grow old is to lose everything. Aging, everybody knows it. Even when we were young, we glimpse it sometimes and nod our heads when a grandfather dies. Then we row for years on the midsummer pond, ignorant and content. But a marriage that began without harm scatters into debris on the shore, and a friend from school drops cold on a rocky strand. If a new love carries us past middle age, our wife will die at her strongest and most beautiful. New women come and go, all go. The pretty lover who announces that she is temporary is temporary. The bold woman, middle-aged against our old age, sinks under an anxiety she cannot withstand. Another friend of decades estranges himself in words that pollute 30 years. Let us stifle under mud at the pond's edge and affirm that it is fitting and delicious to lose everything.
What is that one called? Approbation? That's approbation. Yeah, that's beautiful. When you wake up in the morning and you're still waking up at 5, don't you have poetic thoughts? Or don't you have a phrase or an idea or something?
I used to.
Yeah.
And I would wake up and get right into my study.
Yeah.
And my late wife, whom I spoke of there, would get up a bit later. And I would come out of my room and see her, and she'd say, "How goes it?" And I would say, "I am the worst poet who's ever lived in the United States. Everything I write is pure nonsense." Or, "I am immeasurably great." I would feel one way or the other each morning, and we both knew it didn't make any difference at all.
And you don't wake up that way anymore, huh? Thinking that you're either great or nothing?
No, I'm slow to wake up.
Have you reached an acceptance of yourself and your talents and your
skills? More or less. It's boring. I'm 87, and I've discovered that I've aged 5 years between 86 and 87. it's happening more rapidly now.
Yeah.
And I still have a lot of fun, but it's also, naturally kind of depressing. It happens to everybody. Yeah. And how come I live so long if I don't like it?
Yeah. Good point. And what if you live to be 200? There's a great poem here about the 200-year-old man.
Excuse me, I didn't hear.
Yeah. Is that in here?
I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, the 200-year-old man in this.
Oh, right. Yeah. I wrote that in my 50s. I'm still waiting to turn 200.
Yeah. Would you care to read us another one, one of your choice? Or?
Oh.
Are you read out?
No, let me read one. I'm getting tired. I would love to read I've spent most of my life writing feverous. Mm-hmm. But late in my life, for a few poems, I went back to writing in meter. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for one now that I particularly like.
Something in meter.
I'm not sure just where it comes up. Oh, here I am. Now I got to find it on the page, by the page numbers. I'm getting close. Oh, shoot.
It's all right. We have time.
I'm sorry.
That's not a problem. I'll look too, but I don't know meter when I see it.
You'll hear it, I hope. I passed you there. Okay, one more page. It's a poem called The Wish, and it's about the death of my dear wife, Jane Kenyon, who died when she was 47 up here. And I was 19 years older than she was. And her death, I didn't write about anything else for 5 years.
Right.
But she still comes up from time to time. This one is called The Wish. I keep her weary ghost inside me. Oh, let me go, I hear her crying. Deep in your dark, you want to hide me, and so perpetuate my dying. I can't undo the grief that you weep by the stone where I am lying. Oh, let me go. My work had women half distracted. I endure the day and sleep at night to watch her dying reenacted when the faint dawn descends like twilight. How can I let this dream forget her white withdrawal from my sight and let her go? Her body, while I watch, grows smaller. Her face recedes. Her kiss is colder. Watching her disappear, I call her again and again as I grow older. While somewhere deep in the catch of sleep, I hear her cry when I reach to hold her. Oh, let me go.
It's both beautiful and devastating.
Yeah, good. It was sort of a way of trying not to dwell on her every moment of the day.
Yeah.
I'm with her every day.
Sure.
It's 20 years ago now.
Yeah. And you were each other's best critics. That's among other things. That was a wonderful thing.
Yeah, she was very good.
Yeah. Did you ever not use something that she thought was not good?
I'm sure I...
Probably did, huh?
I did occasionally. She did to me. But we helped each other enormously.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, good.
Poet Laureate, I mentioned that, but it was just for a year. What happened there? Did they have to let you go, or...?
I didn't do enough. I was disappointed with myself.
You were?
Yeah.
So you quit?
Well, they wanted me to go 2 years, but I just saved it to one because I was dissatisfied with what I did.
Yeah. What is a poet laureate supposed to do? Open supermarkets with poems?
Instead of the promotion of poetry. But there are particular things. You judge contests.
Oh.
You do a certain number of readings. You get to name the poets for some other readings. Mm-hmm. There are things, and I did them all.
Yeah.
But I sort of got low that year, and I didn't do near so much promotion as I wanted.
Did you feel better about being Poet Laureate of New Hampshire? Was that more? That was a little
I did closer
less. Closer to home.
Poet Laureate of New Hampshire. One thing I felt very good about in terms of promotions and recognition. 1 year, President Obama put a medal around my head, the National Medal of Art, and that was wonderful to be at the White House and actually to meet him and, of course, the other honorees. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting pretty tired now. Can we draw to a close?
Yes, we certainly can. Donald, thank you so much for taking the time. And this is a wonderful collection. Everyone should get this. The Selected Poems of Donald Hall. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Donald Hall, ladies and gentlemen. It's on, what does that say there? HMH. What is that? Oh, Houghton Mifflin. Okay. I didn't get initials. I don't get initials. Anyway, the Selected Poems of Donald Hall. So, here, well, I got that. And farm poems. I mean, if you like, down on the farm, but back historically, and not just depicting activities or being nostalgic, but really bringing unbelievable meaning from the whole experience of the farm back to his grandfather, and everything is, it's so amazing. It's amazing. It's an amazing poem. Okay. We ran a little long, though. Okay there. So a little song. Are you going to play, what's that song you're working on there?
Oh, I don't know. I just feel like I should be playing something like in a minor key now.
No. You need to get us out of this. We're in a profoundly sad mood. That's a good thing for a comedy quiz show. But if you're going to be sad, you might as well be profoundly sad, I say.
Yeah.
I guess it's some meaning
not?
Then.
Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
Oh, this is a tune called That Old Feeling.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Don't get no kick from champagne. Oh, okay, I'm good. Sinatra's birthday. We've been 100.
I've got you under my skin.
Sinatra. What about him?
Well, he sang those songs.
Huh?
He sang those songs.
Yes.
So in honor of him.
What about him?
So in honor of him.
Why aren't you doing Sinatra songs now, if you're such a big fan? Good question. John?
I'm sure he's saying that one that we just
played. That has no words. Let's see. Okay, yes, it does. We just moved south here to retire. What should we do? You moved here south? You know, south? If you moved south to get here, you shouldn't have been there in the first place, wherever it was. Because that's pretty far north then. Who was it? And you didn't sign it even. Okay. Are you still heading south? Is that your...
This is it.
You stopped here? So this seems balmy. It is kind of balmy out there. All right, let's find out what kind of person would move south to Wisconsin, to southern Wisconsin. Southern Wisconsin just has southern in it, you know. It's not actually, are you leaving already, sir? Is it? I know. Oh, you got a call, you got to answer. Okay. All right. You can take it in here. We don't mind. Tell me you're at a show. Gosh darn it. Where? Oh. Oh, hi. Sorry, I walked right past you. Can I get you to stand up for just a second? We're going to find out where you moved, where home is up north.
Escanaba, Michigan.
Escanaba. Beautiful Escanaba. Why would you leave that? It's a paradise.
We made our mark and had to move on.
You made your mark in Escanaba?
That's right.
Can I go there and actually see where is your mark there if I go looking for it? What did you do? I mean, what in Escanaba?
Well, we hung out there at the lakeshore a lot.
Hard to pin you down here on what your mark is. Okay. Escanaba is beautiful, though, but the time of year is a factor?
It's beautiful. It's a wonderful place to vacation, a wonderful place to spend a few years.
I was thinking of moving up north to Escanaba when I retire.
We have a wonderful house for sale. You'd love it.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. What kind of heat you got?
Gas.
Okay. That could work out then. Well, thank you. And your name is?
Debbie.
Now, are you living here in Madison? Or
my husband, Eric, and I are living here. We're loving it.
Yeah, okay. Are you loving it?
It's a great place, yes.
How did you pick it? Was it out of a hat or something?
We heard about it. We heard it was a really nice city with lots to do.
Could you hear it over the mark you were making?
The fame has spread far and wide.
Well, welcome here. Welcome.
Thank you.
We're loving Don't it. Pack up and move to Sterling, Illinois, or someplace south. Okay, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, Chamber of Commerce. Chamber of Commerce owes me $5. Potato farmer from Anago, James Spicala. Any of that true of anybody here? Yes, you are the potato farmer?
Right.
And your last name is? Yes, that's right. You got it right. Spicala. Actually, he would say it that way. How many ways can you say that? Spicala from Anago. I was thinking Anago pretty good. Anago there? You want to come down? Why don't you step on all these young people here because they're probably related to you. Some of them, anyway. Are they all related to this entire row?
Well, I have a lovely wife, two daughters, and some friends that tagged along here today.
Okay. Is your daughter the one who called up earlier on her inattentiveness?
It's either Ellen, Rachel, or Nikki. I just met. I don't know who is who.
Okay. You never do you? All these kids in and out of the house. And you can't
That's right. And it's kind of a universal name. My mother, my wife. I just muddle the names all the time. Yeah.
Plus, what if there's two Rachels or something among your friends? You know, and then she yells at you if you get the wrong Rachel. No, is that Rachel?
It can happen. Yes.
Not easy.
Yeah. Is it my turn?
Well, I don't know.
Say something clever.
I forget why I called you out of the audience for some reason. You raised potatoes, though, I see.
Yes.
Good year for potatoes?
It's just average for us. Nothing exceptional.
What affects the potato crop?
We like...
Is it the potatoes themselves, or is it something that they're undergoing?
Well, we grow them primarily in the northern tier of states for the fall harvest. That'd be the Dakotas, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Maine. Yeah. And they like cool summers, cool weather. That's why... We're up in the northern Wisconsin, and that's they thrive under those conditions. The south, not so well. The potatoes are growing.
I asked you about this year's potatoes. I didn't ask you about potatoes in general and what tier they're on, climate-wise. Uh-huh. It's interesting.
Yeah, well.
It's good background, but this year, is it the soil conditions? I bet wet soil.
As long as we're there, Anago silt loam soil is the state soil.
Anago silt loam is well known.
Is the state soil.
Yes, you're right. Of course you're right.
Yeah, so it's... Well, yeah.
And the Anago potato is a state potato.
No,
as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there is no state potato, but if there were...
As long as I'm on the air, I'd like to tell my buyers that now would be a good time to get in line and we could move some, you know.
That it's not been such a good year either while you're on the air nationally trying to sell some of these potatoes.
Good point, yes. That's a good point.
Got a lot of potatoes in storage now. How do you store potatoes?
Well, they're in large buildings. They're well insulated.
They have their own buildings? That's cool.
Yeah, they
fill offices with potatoes or how does that work?
Well, they're 16 feet high. They're forced air ventilation.
It's a big potato.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but cumulatively, when you pile them up, yes. And we don't
How do you move them? Because if you use a forklift, you're going to pierce a lot of potatoes.
Well, we have something called a belt loader. It's got a 3-foot
That's
wide belt, a 3-foot wide belt, and it drives into the pile and snarfs them up.
As far as the genre or the, not genre, the breed of potato, what are we talking here?
Russet Norcotas. It's the number two variety in America.
Well, should be number one as far as I'm concerned.
There are better varieties. We grow some with wild species that are very good eaters, but they have some other poor horticultural characteristics that would put me out of business.
I'm not even going to ask about that. This is really good. Much deeper than I ever got into potatoes before.
I can talk.
And I've gotten deep in potatoes, but not this deep.
Well,
they were fried potatoes.
I can pontificate all day here. I talk all day about potatoes.
Well, if you get your own show, I think you're going to be in business. Thank you, James.
Okay, very well. Thank you.
I forget.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good job. But that was interesting. All you wanted to know about Antigo potatoes, it's the number two russet Antigoas. Antiguas. Potato. Good potato, too. Good eating potato, good baking potato, good chopping and just throwing around potato, or good potato to put in a potato gun. It's amazing how all the uses there are for a good number two russet. Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay, so then, fine. Well, I gave it to someone. Okay, it's time right now to play the What Do You Know quiz. Before we can do the quiz, we have to know who can and cannot participate in said quiz. Yes, sir, if you would just come down here. I've given you time to do that here by pontificating on my own here. What about those potatoes, though? Because they're... what's better than a good potato? And they're so useful. You can slice them. You can dice them. You can cut them real into cubes. You can cube them. It's hard to cube them. How are you?
Dandy.
Good. And you are?
Joe Clevenger.
You like a good potato, Joe?
I love a good potato. Yeah.
How do you fix a potato generally?
Slice it and fry it.
Yeah. You slice it and then fry it?
Yeah.
Smart. What kind of oil do you use?
Canola oil.
Canola. Huh, unexpected.
Very light flavored.
Yes. Were you always canola or did you switch at a certain point?
I went from olive to canola.
You went from olive to canola. So many people are doing just the opposite.
I know. Well, from what I understand... really fresh olive oil is good, but most of what we get around here isn't.
Oh, here.
Oh, yeah, I got to do this, All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Mistakes... I've made a few, but then again, too few to mention.
Yes! Nailed it, man!
No, that's enough. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
All right. Thank you very much. Take that with you and save it. Okay. All right, here's your chance to play the What Do You Know quiz, chance to win a lot of fabulous prizes, most of which are not. You obviously came planning to do this, didn't you? Come on, it's a little sad, but I want to humor you.
Okay.
What is this on? Is that makeup on your...
No, that's my laundress. Didn't do a very good job, I think.
What was it in the first place there?
It was, you know, dyed, and she
got... It was like face powder. Did you look at that on his shirt there?
He was cleaning the bathroom with the bleach, and he did it to himself.
No, that's face powder. Just look at it closely here. That's definitely... I brush it off, but I don't know him.
He's wearing that. I don't know.
Well, or someone else is, maybe, you know. And you are?
Sandy Kittner.
Sandy, where are you from?
Sun Prairie.
From Sun Prairie, that's right.
Yep.
And give me one good reason, Sandy Kittner, why you should play this quiz.
Because my nephew from San Diego is getting a little bored, and having his uncle humiliated on national radio would be great.
Would that help? Yeah, he says it would help. Anything, really. If you do this and maybe get out of here, that would help. Take him to the state capitol and show him something worth seeing there.
These go on my head?
Sandy, well, put them wherever you want. Put them on your hips. Try them on your hips. You can still feel a vibration. That's kind of cool. How are you then there? What's the matter? You got the wrong ones on? Oh, yeah,
yeah, put my nephew says I have them on wrong.
Put the headphone facing your ears. Not the back of the headphones facing up. You really shouldn't be in radio. I've never fumbled with those headphones as much as you.
Of course, nothing's on here. I hear nothing.
And it keeps your ears warm if you're outside.
It does keep my ears warm, but I can't hear a thing.
Like a fishing show. You know, they got those fishing shows.
Okay.
Always wear them. So what are you doing these days, Sandy?
Well, I'm almost retired.
Yeah.
I told my boss a year and a half ago that I would only work a year and a half. So now it's a year from now.
Yeah.
Date certain, I am done.
So you should be done already, though, shouldn't you?
I was too nice. I said a year and a half. I gave him a year and a half to replace me. So.
Yeah. But that was a year and a half ago.
No, it was last summer.
So it was half a year ago.
Half a year ago, I said a year and a half.
Oh, so he's got a year. Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's a little math, I guess. Yeah.
And what is it that you do?
I am a researcher at the university.
Oh, you do? What do you research?
At the present time, we are researching stroke in the neonatal babies.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Heavy-duty stuff.
And, you know, the reason why females do so much better than males. If you can have a stroke as a baby, be a girl.
You know, this show is getting more and more depressing. First of all, we have a poet who just got put me through the floor. Okay. What do you do for kicks when you're not doing
neonatal
research?
Oh, I do community theater.
Oh, you do. You're an actor?
And a director.
Yes. This is a director, isn't it?
Oh.
I don't know. I can't spell it worth a darn.
Yeah.
And you do that community theater thing?
Yep. I do the community theater thing. For Sun Prairie.
In Sun Prairie? The
and
Sun Prairie Players?
I'm directing a play in Stoughton. Opening is March 10th.
The Stoughton Hater Players?
They call themselves the Stoughton Village Players.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They have a whole set into my spoof thing.
They do the Hater things?
Yeah, they do it big.
Like a chorus line of guys going, kicking and doing Hater.
Yeah.
I'd love to see something like that.
Yep.
When is that going on?
Opening's March 10th.
March 10th, okay. And are you in it as well as directing it? Or
no,
is that
I'm
a conflict?
Just I don't know. Directing, I think it's a bad idea for a director to be.
To direct himself?
Oh, terrible idea.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I think so. Thank you, right. Someone out there plays along with you, and how does that work then there?
If people want to play the quiz, they are going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Wait a minute, this is my recipe box. I got the wrong. All right, I want to know the favorite day of the week for American people.
Oh.
Got one chance in seven. How hard can it be? Favorite day of the week. This is for the most favorite day of the week. No, this is not. You can't answer this. Someone out there has to answer it so they can play with your uncle here. How's he doing so far? Got one of these little handshakes, little horizontal hands.
I really hear nothing from these. Nothing's coming through here.
Well, why did you take them off then?
I don't know. I thought maybe I had to hear something.
You want to look like you're on the radio. No. Who sees that? It's the radio. Tim's in Cleveland, Tennessee. Hey, Tim.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm great.
Boy,
I'm thinking
on the right side of the bed, don't you, Tim?
Well, it's almost lunch anyway, so hey, it's been a little while.
Oh, it's a little later there than it is here, but still in awe.
Great.
Best day of the week, people say, that their favorite day of the week. Which day is it?
Oh, gosh. I'm thinking the working environment has got to be Friday.
Friday is right. Oh, you nailed it, Tim.
Everyone
says Friday. You think, well, not Saturday. No, Saturday's number two. Sunday, no. Sunday's number three. Tim. So, Tim, what do you work at there in Cleveland, Tennessee?
Oh, I actually work for a utilities company, and we're a municipality, a public power company, and work in the HR room.
In HR?
Yes.
Did you start out as a pole climber and finally decided HR was easier?
No. I kind of started out in a roundabout way. I was actually in safety and health. So figured out it was another way to continue to be able to help my employees.
Yeah. Safety and health, and that was going nowhere, right?
Oh, we did really good.
I'm just kidding you.
Where's Cleveland?
It was going well.
This is Sandy, by the way. He's your partner here in this quiz. Sandy,
right.
Tim. Sandy.
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
I'm doing
so
great.
So where's Cleveland?
Cleveland is near Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're about 30 miles east of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah, okay. Chattanooga. Glad Stubblefield, hometown.
Never been there.
Yeah. All right. So you know how this works, Tim? The two of you work as a team on these questions and collaborate.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We'll do our best.
Tim and Sandy, we have various categories, have we not, Stephanie?
We do, and this might be the only category they get to choose. So choose wisely.
Running a little late again, huh?
Okay,
for all the money, then.
Yes. Oh, really?
Wow, the categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Tim, what would you like?
Oh, gosh, Sandy, I can have input from you. I mean, there's lots of good current events with all the politics stuff that's been going on. What do you think?
Let's go current events. Why not?
All right.
It's all a crapshoot anyway. So.
Nah, I don't know. There's not that many events, really. Try a different one.
Okay, what about science?
Science?
Not so much? Things you should have learned in school?
Okay.
School is never really a good. If you have like one crack at it, I would say avoid the school category.
Oh, okay. But what's left?
Anything you'd like, though. Anyone, really. lead you in a certain
what's
direction.
What's left?
A lot of pressure, just one question.
So.
Odds and ends?
Okay. Odds and ends.
All right.
No, yeah.
Okay, odds are you didn't like garlic until you were 19 and didn't or won't like goat cheese until 25, 28, or 31. They found that a lot of food tastes go by year.
Oh. Right?
So you like garlic when you're 19. You won't like goat cheese until you're 25, 28, or 31.
Ooh. Not a lot of range.
Talk it over.
Well, what do you think?
Goat cheese.
Goat cheese.
Age-related.
Well,
cheese.
It's an acquired taste, don't you agree?
Acquired, yes.
Yeah.
So by what age? Goat cheese.
I'm thinking either the middle or the older
28?
One. 28 could be.
28?
Yeah. 28 is right. Holy cow! And the famous one-third.
Sandy, you'll clean up real good for the holidays with handmade What Do You Smell soap, redolent of a Wisconsin morning of sweet clover and sharp cheddar from the Screaming Porch Gift Company in historic Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Tim, start your day on the right foot with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee, and for a relaxing afternoon break, enjoy rich and smooth Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee. Coffee done right. Congratulations to both of you.
All right.
There you go.
Join us next week,
hang on, Tim,
December 19th. Her annual holiday office party here at Monona Terrace. We'll have plenty of food, fun, and eggnog. Information on tickets is available at notmuch.com. Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for the what do you know nut in your life? Try the limited edition 30th anniversary triple XT from What Do You Know. Buy one at the show or online at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Burst into applause. Much more than you feel. Break down. Down. Smatter. And awkward silence.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
What?
That's John Tulin on piano,
where?
Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we open up the phones for our annual reports hotline. Plus, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's liking the Chicago Cardinals, Michael Feldman.
Yeah, the Chicago Cardinals. That's the ticket. You know, each week at this time, we read actual menus. Menus? Memos sent in by actual menus. Memos. Okay, here we go. I'm just a little confused here. All right, this is good because, you know, they say the federal government has got a lot of things that we can't understand, you know. This proves it. And it's from Chattanooga, actually. So that's kind of cool. It's apropos of what we just had on the phone there. So here we go. This is not exactly a memo. It is a legal notice, and it reads as follows. Legal notice, a principal combined fund organization, or PICFO, application. The local federal coordinating committee, LFCC, is now accepting applications from federations, combinations of federations, or a voluntary agency to serve as a principal combined fund organization, PICFO, for the 2016 Greater Chattanooga Area CFC campaign, subject to renewal each year following review of performance as defined in 5 CFR Part 950.105 for the combined federal campaign of the Greater Chattanooga Area. PICFO applications must meet all regulatory requirements of 5 CFR Part 950.104C. Any organization or combinations of organizations that plan to apply must submit to the LFCC on or before December 30. It ends there rather abruptly. Okay, so that's so that leaves you nowhere. So how about this one here on snowball throwing? Something a little more down to earth. This is... The Office of Residence Life at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville. I shouldn't tell you where they're from, but this is too good not to mention. They issued a memo advising students about the rules of engagement for snowball fights. It reads as full below. Snowball information, things you need to know. Each year it is necessary to review the guidelines for damages that result from snowball throwing near the residence halls. While many view snowball throwing as a recreation, some individuals carry the recreation too close to residence hall facilities and occasionally damage property of the university or injure other students. Oh, that goes second. They'll say, you should put an eye out. That's what they say. You know, what if there's a stone in there and it puts an eye out, Michael? The following guidelines are used in determining responsibility for damages related to snowball throwing incidents. One, persons identified as throwing snowballs at buildings or windows will assume total financial responsibility for the damages attributed to their individual actions, or they're trying to be legalistic. Is it funny? They're not good at it. Or for the damages resulting from a group of snowball throwers with which they are identified. Should be whom, number one. Number two, it's claptrap, boilerplate. Two, residents are advised to not attract snowball throwing incidents by shouting from or appearing in their windows. I like that one. That's a good line. Residents are asked to close their draperies, not to appear in their windows, or shout from their windows during snowball throwing incidents. Residents comply with this request. Complying with this request will be protecting themselves from chance of injury or discomfort due to broken glass and preventing any personal liability on their own part for resulting damages. So if your window is broken, you are liable, mister, because you were shouting out the window. Three, residents whose actions contribute to the breaking of their own room windows or the windows of others nearby assume full financial responsibility for any damages where the culprit is not specifically identified. Culprit is not really a legal term. Whoever wrote this is an HR person, whoever it was. Four, residence life personnel will consult with the resident director of the hall before a decision regarding billing is made. It is requested that snowball throwing be limited to areas where people and property will not be damaged. Thank you for your cooperation. And thank you for that memo. It's a beauty. We'll treasure it always. So if they're not at their windows yelling out at snowball throwers, where could they send these memos?
They can send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Now, Stephanie, you're from Kentucky, so you never were involved in one of these snowball incidents?
I've been in a few snowball fights.
Incidents.
Not a lot.
They're not fights.
Oh, incidents. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. They're snowball liability incidents, technically.
I've tossed a snowball.
They're really
at my time.
At Kentucky?
Yep.
It snowed there? When?
It snows there. I remember when I was maybe 9 years old, we got like...
You're in college and you're in nine? Oh, you're so smart.
I was a prodigy. No, I wasn't. But yeah, we get snow. Probably not this year, considering how warm the winter is in the Midwest. But.
Now, some of you here probably have been in one of these residence halls snowball incidents. Applaud if you acknowledge that. You were? Where was your incident? St. Norbert in Minnesota there, eh?
DePere.
Oh, in DePere. There's one in DePere, too, huh? Same saint?
Yeah.
Interesting. Got two places. And what was the incident? Well, wait a second. Where's my... You got my microphone.
Give me that. Come on. Jeff. Oh, really wants a job.
You don't see me grabbing his bass. Snowball liability incident. What was the scenario?
Just a snowball fight when the Domino's pizza man tried to deliver a pizza.
Oh. Is he the victim of said snowball?
Yes, and the people that wanted the pizza because they never got it.
That is very sad and unfortunate, and I feel bad for him. Did you ever make up to him or make it up to him?
No, I did not.
What would St. Norbert have done?
Probably went and prayed about it.
It's not hard enough being named Norbert. You have to be a saint, too. I mean, imagine that situation. Okay, well, thank you for that. Your name is?
Denise.
Denise, don't give the last name because it's still a liability. That guy's got a lot of hospital bills. Too. Okay, where was I? I was doing something else, wasn't I? Yes. Okay. Snow in Kentucky. I don't believe it. Lexington?
Yep, no, Lexington, no. Kentucky.
Do people know what it was?
Snow.
Yeah, when it happened, I mean, it must have been a shot. I know you guys have ice storms and stuff, right?
We do. We get ice
storms. Yeah, but snow.
Yeah.
Traffic stopper, wouldn't it be?
Not so much, no.
Okay. No. I'm shocked. Well, it's time for the annual reports and Christmas letters section of our show. So if you have a Christmas letter that you've been sending around, save yourself some trouble here. Let's just broadcast them. We in the Feldman family don't do Christmas letters because we're not. But we do annual reports, and this is the, just to start things off here. So get your, gather your Christmas letters and bring them to the, and dial in. What number should they dial with their Christmas letters?
They should dial 800-942-5669.
Okay. And we'll save you a forever stamp. You pay for it forever. That's what they call it. The 2015 Feldman annual report. 2015 for the Feldmans wasn't the best of years and the worst of years because that would be The Tale of Two Cities. But it was a pretty darn good year, even if it did start out with the passing of our dear Puggle Tina in January, 10 years after little Ellie said she needed something to love. Something, so it couldn't be us. It had to be a Puggle, and that Puggle had to be Tina, who of course turned out to be a one and not at all a thing, and one we miss very much. Largely to keep Dad, who was Tina's pet, from brooding, we adopted Bella, a Poogle, which is like a Puggle, only with a poo in front. Sight unseen from an Amish farm, you know the Amish and cameras. Couldn't get a picture of her. And she turned out to be love at first bite. From Amish to Jewish, Ellie says, and very much the ish. Whatever that means. Ish means something. Oh, I have no idea. I didn't ask. Professionally, the What Do You Know celebrated 30 years on the air in 2015, which comes... Oh, please, not an applause line. That's a condolences line, not an applause line. 30 years on air, which comes to at least 1,080 shows, 796 of which weren't so bad to date. Awards galore in 2015 for What Do You Know, including the coveted Mr. Peabody Award from Boy Sherman, the Genius Award, which turned out to be ironic, and a bar chip, good for one cocktail, from Schmitty's in La Crosse, east of Kmart on Highway 33. Naturally, Michael would do it all without the recognition, but come on, Schmitty's. The girls, I mean the young women, are you getting, I'm not seeing phone calls here from the Christmas letter people and the holiday letter people and the annual reports. Okay, let me go on. The girls, I mean the young women, are doing great. Ellie, already in record books as the first real estate agent to still be living at home. Added a second first as the first agent with her own agency, the self-named Ellie Feldman Real Estate Agency, to still be living at home. I'm not saying she's good at it, but if she keeps on selling houses, one of them is bound to be ours. And we'll be out on the street. At the very least, we might have to ask her for rent and make it retroactive. Yeah. Nora, the other one, spent her junior year not at the conveniently located 10 blocks away, highly regarded University of Wisconsin, but at the Universidad de Sevilla, inconveniently located, as the name implies, in Sevilla, Spain. And quite convenient, though, to the aeropuerto, where flights to all major cities in Europe, Asia Minor, and North Africa can be had for something to do on weekends that make your parents loco. You know, at a certain age, you have to stop worrying about them, but I haven't yet reached that age. Last year, Nora spent time in Peru and Nicaragua, now has just 17 countries in Central and South America to complete her dream of total Latin domination. So when people ask, I say I have one real estate agent and one Latina, so you never know how they'll turn out. Sandy is much the same, if not more so, still doing PT and loving it, still with the therapist jokes. Therapist, the rapist, get it? Which may be why she rarely sees a patient a second time. Or maybe she's just that good. Well, gotta go. Bella wants to go to bed, and she won't unless I'm curled up at the foot. That's pretty much it for the Feldmans 2015. 31 years of marriage, 30 of radio, and one of them went just like that. Con mucho gusto, Papa Feldman. That's Feldman, the annual report 2015. Subject to change year to year. Now we are looking for your annual reports, family annual reports, or Christmas letters. And that number again, Nicole, is...
That number again is 1-800-942-5669.
Okay.
That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
Why do you do the no thing? What is that? No.
How would you do it?
It's not my job. Chris is on the line from Rochester, New York. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hi.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Is it a busy morning for you? Are you planning something or doing something or in the midst of something?
I pulled over. I'm in between.
You pulled over? Do you have to pull over with your letter in your hand, your Christmas letter?
Well, you know what? My Christmas letter isn't getting written this year, which is why I can... transmit it, and then I can save myself because I know what's going to say.
Can you do it like verbatim at what you would have wrote?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have it, Chris.
Happy holidays, everyone. I know you've been getting letters from me for the past 40 years, and this year I'm skipping it because we're getting divorced.
That's heartwarming. Chris, that's like the best Christmas letter. I mean, I'm sorry for it, but it's probably for the best thing, right? Probably
for the best. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So congratulations, I think, is inappropriate, too. But nice letter, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah, that was easy. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for pulling over, too. You don't want to do that while you're going. Chris in Rochester with her Christmas letter. Okay, so we're still waiting for those phones to ring. Take out your Christmas list. People still do them, don't they? Am I barking up a non-existent tree here? Do you do Christmas letters? No? Well, you're just shaking your heads and people think I'm just sitting here in a room by myself. One of those jackets where your arms are locked in front of you like this, and the walls are padded. But I believe there is an audience here, and no one writes a Christmas letter?
I don't write them, but I get a couple every year from... Yeah. My family.
Did you happen to have Anya?
No.
You can read? Okay. Okay, what's the number again? Maybe they didn't get the number.
That
for
number,
your Christmas letters or your annual
again.
Reports for your family.
That number again is 1-800-942-5669.
You know, what happened to remodeling or took a trip to somewhere? Grand Canyon or...
I think the problem these days Yosemite is that people just post everything on Facebook. They don't think they need to write their Christmas
letters. Read it off your Facebook account, then. I don't care. I'm a little, I'm shy. Are the phones not ringing at all? Really? Do I know my public or what? Because
yeah,
I'm sure
you're locked in.
That
locked
there
in,
are
baby.
Hundreds, if not possibly three, people out there with a Christmas letter that you've got it, you finished it, it's perfect, it's just the way you want it, and you've been meaning to get it in the mailbox, but you can't find a forever stamp or something, and then you didn't like the stamps
Sandy
they
Feldman.
Had. And here we go. Hi, Anita. How are you?
Hi. Good.
Do you have a Christmas letter?
Well, yes, actually, it's not mine.
Oh.
But I received a letter.
Oh, okay. That's good.
From my second grade teacher.
Oh, good. Your second?
Yeah, her name is Sister Jeanette.
Okay, good, perfect.
Yeah, so I don't really know if I'm at liberty to read her whole letter, but...
Don't read the whole letter, just read the good parts.
The good parts. Well, like I said, it's Sister Jeanette, so she is a nun.
Okay.
And she is in Chardon, Ohio. So talk about snow. She gets plenty of snow there.
Oh, you betcha.
In the snow belt.
Yeah.
Yep. So
right up to her habit.
Yeah, probably.
Over.
So she was telling me that she enjoyed her 50th class reunion from Elyria Catholic High School. And
In Ohio, right?
So. Yes, in Ohio. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. And she had, she's really very creative. Mm-hmm. So she had two Christmas trees that were sort of designed out of various words that she had written.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very inspirational.
Ah.
The one tells you, this Christmas and a quarrel, seek out a forgotten friend, dismiss suspicion, and replace it with trust. Write a love letter.
Yeah.
Share some treasure. Give a soft answer. Keep a promise. Find the time. Forgo a grudge. It's pretty long. I'm only about halfway through the tree.
Yeah.
Should I continue?
They're big trees. No, I think those are the best ones.
Okay.
I think forgo the grudge. That's wonderful.
Yeah, isn't that great?
That's a very sweet letter.
Right. And I was telling my husband that in second grade, I wanted to be a nun because of Sister Jeanette. He said, no, you didn't really want to be a nun. You just wanted to be her.
Ah.
So very inspirational. We've kept up this relationship for, let me think about this, 42 years.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Anita, for sharing that. That's actually
you're welcome.
Very sweet letter.
Thank you.
From Sister Jeanette, we've got Eternity in Oklahoma City. And it's been a long while since I spoke to you, Eternity.
I think this is the first time.
Yeah, the first time. Yeah. How are you?
Good. We were listening to your show this morning as we were going around, and I just kind of felt bad no one was calling in, so I had to call in.
Yeah.
But
do you have do you do a Christmas letter each year?
We do calling mostly, but I have some family now that can't hear very well, so Christmas letters are kind of what's going to have to start happening.
Do you have one prepared?
Kind of. I was planning on sending one to my great-great-grandma. She lives in California.
Wow, no kidding. That's cool.
She's really old now.
Yeah.
She's like 95.
Yeah.
So, but we're going to send her a letter this Christmas from... telling her that we got married, my husband and I got married last year, and that we that we had a baby this year, and that we missed her a lot.
Isn't that sweet?
To see her sometime.
Well, you know what? That's a very sweet, wonderful letter.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be thrilled to get that too.
Yeah, I miss her a lot.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Attorney. That was very sweet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Best to you.
Best to you.
Bye bye. And we go to Ronald here, who's in Rockport. Is it Rockport, Illinois? Yes? Texas.
No, Rockport, Texas.
Okay. He's taken so long to type, you know. Lyle's gotten a little older. And I saw it's Rock, and I saw Port, but I couldn't wait for Texas. I should have, though, Ronald. How are you?
Good.
Good. And do you celebrate this Christmas letter writing notion?
Yeah, my wife, she puts together a little poem kind of jingle thing every year.
Oh, do you have one there?
We have it here.
Oh, could we hear it?
Yeah, I'll let her read it to you.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, thanks, Ronald.
Hello?
Hi. Just talked with Ronald. What's your name, dear? Hello? Hello?
Oh, no.
Something you said, Mike?
Ronald, are you there?
You called her dear and she hung up.
Was that it? Diane. It's Ronald and Diane. Okay, call back as soon as you can. Let's see now then. Who is this?
I was really looking forward to that.
It was going to be good, you know. Let me try that again. Hi, is this Ronald and Diane?
Are you talking to me?
Oh. Is this Keith again?
My name is Keith in Rochester, New York.
Didn't I talk to you before, or is that somebody else in Rochester?
I've called into the show, but not in many years.
Oh, okay. Well,
I wanted to say quickly to Stephanie, I also was born in Kentucky.
Ah.
Oh.
I'd like to say that here in Rochester, it was presented to us that there's a young 8-year-old girl in Schenectady who's been through a rough patch in her life. She is accepting, really wants to have Christmas cards from people all over the world.
Oh, okay.
And was wondering if I could give out her address.
Sure, why not, Keith?
All right, her name is Sapphire, So I guess that would be Sapphire.
Okay.
The post office box is 6126. Again, 6126. And this is in Schenectady. That would be Schenectady, Schenectady, New York, 12306.
Okay.
12306.
All right.
8 years old. I don't want to. Do you want me to tell her story? Hopefully not to hurt her.
No, I know. It's been in all the papers and stuff. So that's the place to send her cards because I know she wants Christmas cards.
All right. You've heard of her then.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. She would like to have Christmas cards from people from all over the world.
Okay.
And she sounds very good. My card is going out on Monday. And just hopefully your audience would respond.
Okay. Thanks, Keith.
Bye.
Good idea. We got Diane back from Rockport, not Illinois, but Texas. Diane, I'm sorry, did I startle you when I spoke to you earlier?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, we lost our connection there. Have you got the little letter, little rhyme poem?
Yeah. It's kind of stupid, but you sounded a little desperate for people to call there for a while.
I'm more than a little desperate. I am like totally beyond desperate, whatever is after desperate.
Okay, well, we have a little backstory because we're from Utah.
Okay.
We sold our house last year, so this is our first year of traveling around full-time motorhome.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
And we have a son in Escalante, Utah, who has an RV park called Shooting Star.
Uh-huh.
So that's what the letter refers to that.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, you want to hear it?
Yes, please.
Okay. Oh, my gosh, can you believe 2015 is ending? It's December already. Oh, so mind-bending. It started in January. Storage units stuffed full. We should have got rid of more stuff. That's no bull. Ported the vehicle with friends January through March. Back home to Shooting Star. Lots of laundry. No starch. New apartment in Brad's basement. Much painting and nailing. Nice to have a nest and an address for mailing. July and August found us in the Northwest. Thank you for joining us. You're best. The apartment is done, really enjoying our children. Courtney brought Woody to melt the heart of her brothers. Mission accomplished. Great mom with kisses he smothered. The grandies are growing. Their personalities charm us. We love them and miss them traveling around in this bus. So here we are in Texas. 2 months of travel bliss. Missing our kids so much. Last Christmas, we'll do this. Merry Christmas and love to our family and friends. We wish joy, peace, and love to y'all. That's 2015 end.
Thank you, Diane. We had a little problem hearing some of that. I know we had bad transmission there, but that was very good. I loved it.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, I loved it. And
okay, well, I hope you get more people calling.
I don't think so. It's a total blank screen except for Diane in Rockport, Texas here.
Oh, man.
But let me ask you this now. You're traveling the whole year now in your...
We are.
Your motorhome, is it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so where are you in Texas right now?
We're in Texas now. We've never been to Texas, so we spent 2 months here. Then we're going back to Puerto Penasco, Mexico in January and February.
That's the way to live. That's the way to live, Diane.
It's not a bad thing.
Brilliant and very brave of you. I think it's very cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Good luck. Get some callers.
We got Adrian down here now.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Adrian Mentor, Ohio, right?
Yep.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Do you do the old-fashioned that no one does anymore routine of sending out a Christmas letter every year?
No, I do the new-fashioned routine of putting everything on Facebook, but I did send out pictures.
I know. I really got to get more in touch with what's going on these days.
I have a correction, though, for my picture. Can I give the correction?
Please do, yes.
Okay, so I sent out pictures with our two dogs, but one of the dogs now only has three legs. So I wanted to tell everybody that, we're now down a leg in the household.
Down one leg in 2015.
Yep.
Okay. That's not bad, portionally.
Well, the dog's doing great, but the picture's now inaccurate, and it's just gone out.
Yeah. When they go down to two legs, then you got to worry, because they can't. You know, three, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to share with us from your Facebook Christmas post?
Oh, let me think. We're getting married next year in Cancun. That's American.
Okay, so you could have mentioned that first, Adrian. Why wouldn't you start with that? Like, that's not important. That's great. And you're getting married in Cancun. What a good idea.
Well, yeah, it is, but that's not a correction. I had to correct the card, so.
I know the dog's leg is more important than getting married in Cancun.
I think everyone in our house actually might agree with that.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's cool. And when is that going to happen?
Not this January, but next January, so.
Okay, so it should really be in next year's Christmas letter or Christmas post.
I think so.
Yeah,
As long as everything's still going well.
Because once you put down a deposit, you're stuck with that, So you make sure it's the right person, okay? So I'm saying, Adrian, I'm saying this
Thank
as
you.
A father figure. Okay. Thank you very much. Nice talk with you.
All right, bye.
And thank you for all those wonderful Christmas letters and annual reports from around the country and around the world. We'll fix that in the mix. I'll just put in some. Last year's. We did this a couple of years ago. We got all kinds of Christmas lights. Times are changing too quickly.
Times have changed. Tastes have changed. You just don't get the old letters anymore.
You don't get the old Christmas letters anymore.
You gotta get. Well, you're on Facebook. You should understand all that.
Yeah, but I don't want to tell people about myself. I did that. That was revealing.
Twitter,
that was pretty revealing.
You have a Christmas letter on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll put it on Twitter then.
Everything's fine. Then they go have some wine.
Then you get people responding to your people you don't know responding to your Christmas letter.
That's true. Yeah,
okay. What's this about therapist?
That's pretty good, though.
I don't know. It's a PT joke. I mean, because they're pretty rough with people sometimes. But I don't even want to answer for it. It's not even my joke.
That's good, though. I like that.
Yeah, it's great. All right, you send out Christmas cards, though, don't you?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on my to-do list. I think
list of cards? I can send out, more than three?
I sent out about three, yeah.
Jeff, how many you send out Christmas cards?
Yes.
Because I've never received one from you.
We haven't sent out this year's yet.
Okay.
No, but that was last year and the year before.
Is it because I'm not celebrating Christmas again this year? No, I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying I never have, so I didn't know if you did. Or it was just an oversight. All right, now applaud now if you send out Christmas cards. Come on, something's got to. Okay. Applaud if you used to send out Christmas cards but no longer do. What? Why? A forever stamp. It lasts forever. You get one. Get a dozen of them. Use the same one every year. That's what I think a forever stamp should be able to reuse it if it's forever. Yeah, so what's this song here then, John?
This song is Watch What Happens.
ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
Hang on. Hang on. Oh, that's right. I'm in the audience now, right? Aren't I? I mean, not right now, but I will be, right? Okay, Potato Farmer did that. Amy Smith of Madison asks, how deep would the oceans be if there were no sponges? Well, we lost quite a few people. All the younger people, anyone under like 25 is gone, except for you. You're the last one here. Are you hanging in there now?
Yeah.
You're having really a better time than you expected you'd have?
Sort of.
No, you're not at all. Come on. Don't be nice. Don't try and be nice. Jane Payne asks, why is it so foggy? Hey, Jane Payne. How are you? It's not foggy at all. It's clear as a bell out there. You better check your glasses there. You got those glasses that go dark for no reason and then never go light again? Yeah. Did you ever have those?
No.
They're terrible, really. You don't need those. Now, this group here I met earlier, they were hanging around. In fact, they were blocking the little donut stand. And you're all related by what?
Brother, sister, in-laws, daughter.
And you all seem to get along. That's sort of amazing, isn't it?
Actually like each other. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
From Beloit.
I didn't ask where you're from. You just said that automatically.
Beloit, Wisconsin.
Big deal. What's so great about Beloit? It's no Janesville, I'll tell you that.
Oh, it's close.
Yeah. Don't you wish you would have been born just across the border there in Janesville sometimes?
The other border, no.
Yeah. It's a French name, though, isn't it, Beloit? Yeah. Shouldn't it be Belois or something like that?
Belliot.
Belly up? Belly up is not a good name. That's what Janesville is, pretty much. What's the matter with you?
You're right.
And are you related to your brother?
My two sisters.
He's one of your sisters? What a family. This is a great family. They stayed through a lot. They stayed close through a lot. So wait, you are?
I'm Sharon.
Sharon. Yeah. And what's the last name?
Belding.
You don't want to say it, do you? Okay, Sharon Belding. So you're with?
Mm-hmm. Husband.
I'm Chuck Belding, yes.
And this is my brother, Michael.
Mike Ensley, I'm sister.
Oh, that's your sister?
Sister.
Oh, wait a second. Let me just... Can I just reach over here, Sandy? Just support me, will you? Because I could go anytime. You're the sister of?
Of my sister.
And your sister is the sister of? And then you're?
Just a driver.
You're not related to these people in any way?
Oh, yes. I'm with this one. I'm with this.
You're with who?
I'm with this sister.
Decide, mister. It's been long enough dallying around it.
Kathy.
You're with Kathy. Okay, that's your story, and you're going to stick with it?
That's it.
That's me.
Do you recognize this gentleman at all?
Yes, yeah. I do. We're both wearing red, so we know each other.
Are you with the Badgers, or you just got the shirt?
Just have the shirt.
Okay. And then are you with these people? Yes, you are, aren't you? Excuse me. Pardon me. And if I just... Oh, my God. Oh, your bag is so... What's in your bag? Why is any bag... What's in there?
Everything.
Why do you carry all that with you at all times?
I guess I'm prepared.
Are you afraid of being abandoned somewhere without food or water or light? Or...
I never thought of that.
Okay, well, you're ready in case it happens. Let's hope for the worst, I guess, because you're ready. And you are?
I'm Jeff Young. I'm actually the favorite in-laws of this group.
You're?
I'm the daughter.
Oh, you are? Okay. So how are you holding up? Pretty good?
I think so.
Okay, there you have it. In the family, we can call them by what name?
Belding.
The Beldings. The Beldings, ladies and gentlemen. The Beldings, they really enjoy each other's company. That's almost unheard of in a family. Let's give the Beldings a little something, because they're so nice.
Sure. Make your holiday entertaining extra festive with delectable award-winning wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
Okay, so we got 2, 4, 6, 7 Beldings. We have 7 Beldings in the building. How many bottles do you want? 3 bottles?
Depends on how much the Beldings like to drink.
Oh, you know the building. Oh, seven bottles, they say, but we're not going to. Yeah, that's what she said. Maybe three, because three doesn't go into seven. We'll see who fights over the last drop.
Sounds good.
Okay, good. Okay, Beldings, we'll fix you up. Wollersheim, very good wine. Okay, you with the Beldings as well?
Yeah, we're with the Beldings, yeah.
Absolutely, love those Beldings.
I'm his daughter. This is my sister-in-law.
Yeah. Wine, then, for the Beldings subgroup.
There's so many Buildings, we don't
give
even
me a name
know.
We were just there at the winery yesterday.
I wish I would have known. I would have phoned ahead.
You should go to this distillery. That's better. That's excellent, actually. It's a really
any in your purse there, your little purse?
No, I'm flying. I got couldn't buy any wine because I'm flying tomorrow.
You could drink it today, and it wouldn't be a problem. I don't understand that.
You're absolutely right.
I get you. Can you do four on a bottle, or is that asking a lot?
No, it's two to a bottle.
Well, we could. If we're desperate, we could.
You're demanding two to a bottle. Or... what will you do to me?
I'm a group of drinkers, so I have to hold my own. Okay.
Well, what's your name? We'll go put it in your name.
I'm Ann.
Ann Belding?
Belding. Yeah.
Okay, because it's going to be written to Ann Belding, and if you can't cash that voucher... Because you're lying to me about being a Belding, then you're not going to get the wine.
See, these are really nice people, so I think I could hook up with them and get the wine. Yeah.
Tell it to immigration. You're not with the Beldings, then you don't get on our visa. We got a. Can we get...
Absolutely. For our honorary Beldings.
They're demanding, too. But you know, celebrate. If they get... Here's the thing, though, Stephanie.
Sure.
They get two for four, two bottles for four people, and they only get three bottles for seven people. That means they either have to get another Belding, and we'll give them another bottle. A real Belding. No, not all these volunteers.
We've got Beldings all over the place now.
Okay. Let's leave it at three then, because this is just give them all something, and let's move on to something else.
It seems like our holiday party is starting early this year, Michael. Oh,
yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah, let's see now here. How long have you had your public library card? That'll bring the show really to the top tier of listen-to programs. From a school librarian, of course, in La Crosse, Cindy Halter. Hi, Cindy. How are you? School librarian? Okay. Let's say hello to a school librarian from La Crosse. Cindy Halter is here, and because I don't like school librarians. It sometimes must seem like a thankless task, does it? How is behavior in school libraries these days?
Very good.
It is good?
Yeah.
Is that because you run a Stern library?
No, I run a open library, kind of.
Open?
Yeah, kind of.
So the kids are up doing things. Can they talk?
They can talk.
What a wonderful world this turned out to be. In many ways, it's bad. But a lot of ways, if you could talk in your school library, I would have had a much more pleasant school experience.
I was wondering how your school library experience was, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably different than
only
it is.
Thrown out once or twice.
Yeah. They can talk.
It wasn't my fault. It was Teddy's fault.
They can talk. They can work together. Just not, they have to be on task.
Yeah. Well, it was Teddy. Like, I'm not going to laugh if he passes wind in the library. Okay. Of course, it's not me, but we both got thrown out. I thought that was so unfair.
It probably was.
I couldn't prove ownership of it.
No, you couldn't.
So, okay.
So, you know, school library or students in school go on to their public library, yeah. So I was wondering how long you've had your public library card.
551-9412C.
Wow.
55, that was the year. And that's the number in C because I lost it twice.
Good job.
Yes. I was a bookworm. I won the bookworm book for lying about how many books I read over the summer. I won some book I didn't want to read.
And now everyone can check out a public library book on your name.
Feel free. Please do. 551-9412C. Be my guest.
Rack up those
and keep the book.
Lines.
Don't even bother returning it. There'll be an amnesty someday. What am I doing now? Okay, we're going to see
it's quiz time.
Quiz time. Yeah. This is okay, but you know, feel like I want to... Nah.
Oh.
You know, a young person? Yeah. Should we see what... Let's just try a young person here and see if they're any different from us. Come on down here if you would, young person. Yes, you on the end there, I think.
They're asking
you're up
one.
First. I don't know. You guys want to fight an arm wrestle or something? For...
Rock, paper, scissors? Oh,
no. Yeah, go ahead. Rock, paper, scissors if you want to.
Oh, that could take a while.
Right off the bat. Perfect. I never did get that. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
And you are?
I'm Jake, Jake Davidson.
Jake Davidson from around here, Jake? Or
Actually from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Like I didn't know, Philadelphia was in Pennsylvania. Thank you for supplying the state. Jake, are you in school here now?
Actually, no. I just moved out for a job.
Oh, you did. Where are you working?
I work at Epic now.
Epic! One of them Epic immigrants. One good reason you should play this quiz, Jake.
I used to run a trivia quiz show just like yours.
Oh, fantastic. Just like mine. Well, then he should know everything, shouldn't he? All right, Jake, have a seat there, if you would, next to the emu. You might want to prop it up a little bit.
Do I actually need these headphones?
Well, they didn't work for Sandy, I know that, but you can try them. I can turn. Maybe you're. Oh, I think they were turned down or something. Here, can you hear anything now? Can you hear anything now?
Oh, there it is.
Can you hear anything now?
Yeah.
Well, what if I do this?
No.
Okay, let's leave it that way then. Yeah, it's just that little knob there. I didn't have no idea it worked. What? So,
turn
so
it up
out there.
To 11.
So, how's your job going?
It's going well. I just started a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And I'm progressing nicely, I hope.
Did you drink the Kool-Aid yet out of Epic?
There's a lot of that going around, isn't there?
Stephanie works at Epic, too.
Oh, interesting.
In fact, we all work at Epic here.
And we will for years and years.
And I love my job. You know, we have 7 restaurants. You can order food from any one of them. Okay, so...
I think you made him uncomfortable.
What did you study Philadelphia? Where'd you go, Philadelphia?
I went to school, actually, in upstate New York.
Oh, you did?
At Hamilton College.
Hamilton!
Neat.
No!
Oh.
Oh, you went to Hamilton, too! What? What are the odds on that?
Actually, pretty good. There are a lot of us out here.
Hamiltonians?
Yeah.
The fighting...
Continentals? possibly pigs. We have a giant pig mascot, or
pig
we used
mascot.
To.
Do you have a team or anything of any sort?
No, none of them are good.
There's no, like, football? No,
I mean,
football
there home. Are. There are teams. But
rugby,
I don't ever
play
recall.
Rugby or lacrosse or anything?
Yeah, we do have lacrosse teams. We have rugby teams, all sorts of stuff.
And what, when they were they saying, well, I got the Hamilton
Continentals. Something. I think the rugby team were the Exiles because the college actually kicked them off campus for a couple of years.
That's cool.
They didn't want them.
That's cool. Only at Hamilton.
Yeah. I studied math and physics there.
I didn't ask, but that's it. What did you study there?
Math and physics.
And are you doing both those things now over at Epic?
No, neither.
Okay, good. Because that's what college is all about. Missing the boat in what you're doing for the rest of your life. But I'm sure Hamilton was a good experience. So no.
Oh, yeah. It was excellent.
You'd do it again, wouldn't you?
A solid 10 of 10.
Yeah. Okay. Jake, someone there plays along with you. This screen just went out, by the way. Should I worry about that?
Should I see worry nothing, about that?
I see nothing on it. Not that that's anybody's concern.
But just hit one of those red buttons. You'll be good.
I'll hit them all. See if that makes... No,
maybe,
it's still...
Maybe
it's
kick
still
it
off.
Or hit it.
I said push all these buttons on the screen itself. No, I don't see anything going on here. That could slow us down. Anyhow, someone out there plays along with you, and how does that work, Stephanie?
If people want to play the quiz, they are going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Huh? I get to see it on the screen there. Oh, yeah. No signal. Now we got the no signal sign. No. Oh, we got it. Okay, good. Thank you, man. Tom Lane, ladies and gentlemen. Head engineer this fall on Fox. What qualifying question? Yes.
Answer this qualifying question.
Most annoying airplane behavior. Number one on the list of, and there's a lot of annoying airplane behaviors, let's face it. But the most annoying airplane behavior, if you can name that, you get to play the quiz here with Jake. And if you're from Hamilton, it would be just amazing. Noah's in Cleveland. Noah, did you go to Hamilton in New York?
No, I've never been to Hamilton.
Okay. Did you consider it at one time and then?
Yes, it was my top choice. I didn't get in.
They couldn't get in. Yeah, they're tough. What are you doing now these days in Cleveland, there, Noah?
Well, I have 120 Jewish mothers. I work at a Jewish assisted living residence.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Oh, that's got to be fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. So here, Noah, the most annoying airplane behavior. What is it?
the most annoying airplane.
Yeah, the most.
When the pilot falls asleep, I hate that. pretty annoying.
That's why we have co-pilots, Noah. What's the big deal?
Crying babies.
Crying babies, yes, that's number one. You nailed it right off the bat, Noah from Cleveland. And Jewish assisted living wins 1-2, and Noah wins. Noah, this is Jake.
Hi, Noah.
Jake. Hi, Jake.
Okay, good.
How's it going?
That's bonding. And we have various categories, Noah and Jake, and what are they, Stephanie?
The categories are current events, people, places, uh-huh. things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Are you at assisted living right now, Noah?
No, I'm. I probably shouldn't tell you that I'm driving in my car, but I'm going to park soon.
Okay.
I'm driving to the grocery store to pick up latke ingredients.
Wow, I just made them a couple days ago.
For assisted living?
No.
For your own use? Wonderful.
Yeah, for my own use.
Wonderful. And you made latkes?
Yeah, just a couple days ago.
Isn't that something? Did you use potatoes? Did you use Anago potatoes?
No.
Russet number twos? They're perfect for latkes.
My latkes kind of fell apart on me.
See, you should have used russet number twos.
That's the solution.
Okay.
What category did you like, Noah?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Noah, yeah.
Oh, latkes got current events.
Current events. Right out of the news, maybe not. Let's see. The world's oldest tracked bird. You probably read about her. The world's oldest tracked bird. She's Wisdom the Albatross, and she celebrated which birthday, I want to know. She returned to Midway Islands there at the Wildlife Refuge to lay an egg at what age? World's oldest tracked bird. She made news everywhere.
No, are you up on your avian history?
Yeah.
On my birth. No, the question is, how old is she?
Yeah.
An albatross, he said.
Albatross.
An albatross. Yes. How old is the albatross?
Yeah.
Is there a range?
I bet the ladies at assisted living would know.
Was the bird 90?
No.
Birds don't live.
I guess you didn't hear about this. Usually, hear.
Do you hear about birds?
Often.
I have not heard about this bird.
I didn't hear about this bird.
Then why'd you pick current events? I'm sorry.
It's
not she's 64, and she came back 64 and laid an egg, and with her mate, by the way.
With her.
Same bird, 37 years they've been together.
They should put that in their Christmas letter.
What? Very funny. Too bad that's
wrong.
Yeah. One wrong, huh?
So okay. That's right. One wrong, and the remaining categories.
So much
are
for that Hamilton education we've heard about.
Your remaining categories are people, places, school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Jay.
Let's try people.
Small setback. Don't worry about it. We'll get past that. People, yes. When eating with a woman, does a man eat more, less, or just pecks at it and takes it home?
What do you think,
going to
Noah?
Dinner. A man is going to dinner with a woman. Does the man eat more, eat less, or just peck at it and take it in the doggy bag?
I know I usually eat the same amount, but
you know, Jake, I think I actually read about this, and the problem is I have to remember what I. Yeah.
How old are you? You seem like a young guy, Noah.
I'm 50,
Are you albatross aged or what?
I'm exactly albatross. I do not want to lay an egg on the show.
Eats more, eats less, or just pecks?
I think it eats more.
Eats more is right. Yes, congratulations. Finally, out of your hole here.
All right, tied it up there. So one right, one wrong. The remaining categories are places, school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Noah, back to you.
School, things we should have learned at Hamilton.
Okay. Male crickets chirps. Do they impersonate hunting bats so as to get a rise out of hidden females?
What? Jake, you picked the cat.
I guess this is kind of, this is interesting too, if you like science and insect science.
What was the question again?
Yes. Crickets chirps. Did they actually originate, or did they start chirping like that because they were impersonating hunting bats so they would get a rise out of the hidden females?
I bet they, I feel like they don't, because you don't want to attract the bat's attention when you're a cricket.
That's a good point.
But I don't know. Noah?
So you think they're not going for that startle response in the females hidden in the grass?
Hopefully. I don't know. If you're a female and you hear a bat go by, I might hide a little bit more.
I duck and cover my head.
Okay.
Yeah.
You feel that way too, Noah?
What's that?
You don't feel that. Do you feel the same way about it, Noah? You don't, do you?
I feel the same way Jake feels.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to go with no, I think.
All right, it's true.
Really?
Yeah, at least they believe the cricket, just to get a startle response out of the field. So the score is?
That's one right and two wrong.
All right, I'll give you a chance here. If you can get this one right and even out the score, you will have won.
Oh.
Okay?
All right.
What do we win?
All right, what's left?
The remaining categories are places, science, or odds and ends.
All right.
Good pick, Jay.
Let's try places.
Places, okay. This is everything rides on this.
Uh-oh.
And I mean everything.
Uh-oh.
The English name Biggerstaff. Biggerstaff. Comes from the old English words for which of the following? Biggerstaff, last name.
Mm-hmm.
Not a first name, usually. Does it come from the words for sheep hoarder, beekeeper, or well-endowed fellow? Biggerstaff.
I bet. What was that thing that Little Bo Peep carried when she had the sheep? It's the big hook.
That was a bottle of gin, I think. I'm pretty much sure she had a lot of time to drink.
Wait, Moses carried a staff.
Yeah.
You're getting far afield here, I'm thinking. I'm asking the English name Biggerstaff to refer to a sheep herder, a beekeeper, or a well-endowed fellow.
You know, everybody wants to be the well-endowed fellow.
Everyone wants to be Biggerstaff, is what you're saying.
I'm not sure.
I'm liking the sheep.
You're liking the sheep?
I like sheep.
No one's liking the beekeeper?
I was liking the beekeeper myself.
Yeah?
You like beekeepers? I'd like beekeepers. Sounds, my mom used to beekeep.
It sounds the most possible to me.
She didn't have a staff.
The beekeeper? Though. You want to go with it?
Sure.
Yes, that's it, the beekeeper. Biggerstaff, that's all it means.
Congratulations, Jake and Noah. You won some fabulous prizes, which we'll tell you more about later. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Don't miss out on the What Do You Know Holiday Office Party. Join us at Monona Terrace next Saturday for food, fun, and nog, plus a heaping helping of polka from Steve Meisner. For more information, visit us at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson.
PRI, Public Radio International.